We've been talking about this interview and your book for the last couple days. If you could give us a background on the Great Ape Project, also the latest developments and the situation in Spain, and also where you stand on this development.
Well, the Great Ape Project was a book that was developed in 1993 that involved a number of people, lawyers, philosophers, cognitive pathologists, etc. And the purpose of the book was to say that, well, apes are very, very similar to humans, and so they ought to be given greater moral or legal consideration. That book resulted in a campaign to try to get greater legal and moral protection for the non-human great apes, which resulted in, for example, New Zealand and now Spain, granting greater protection for apes. Where I stand basically is, yes, I'm obviously in favor of that, but I don't really draw a distinction between a non-human great ape and a dog or a rat. In my judgment, with respect to all sentient beings, those of us who are opposed to violence, and I would imagine that that is most of the people in your audience who endorse some sort of a Judeo-Christian ethic, would have to agree that it's wrong to inflict suffering and death on sentient beings. We ought not to do so, and so my view is that for purposes of that moral norm, the great apes, the non-human great apes, are no different from dogs or pigs or chickens or whatever.
Do you find a distinction between apes and humans?
Well, of course there's a distinction. Of course there's a distinction. There's a distinction between me and you. The question is whether or not the distinction is relevant. I mean, there are distinctions, sure.
Yeah, but how about in the court of law? Should there be legal distinctions between the rights of a human in the court of law and the rights of apes in the court of law?
Well, you know, I come at this from a little bit of a... I mean, I know that there are some people out there who talk about giving all the legal rights or most of the legal rights that humans have to non-humans. And I'm not sure I even understand what that means, Mike, to be honest with you, because there are so many interests that you and I have that are protected by rights that animals don't have, the non-human animals don't have. And so talking about, I mean, what do we mean? Are we talking about rights to vote, rights to drive cars, rights to free speech? I mean, that would be crazy. What really, I think it's better conceptually to think of this less as a matter of rights and more as a matter of what are our moral obligations as moral beings in this universe. What are our obligations, and how ought we to treat the other non-human, the other sentient beings with whom we share this planet?
And you believe that no animals should be used for the economic benefit of human beings?
Yeah, I mean, basically, look, let me give you an example that, you know, because we have a brief period of time and a lot to talk about. Let me give you an example that I think illustrates the point. Last year, there was quite a bit of controversy about Michael Vick, the football player who was involved with dogfighting. And people were condemning him, and there were just article after article and news program after news program condemning Michael Vick. And I wrote an editorial for the Philadelphia Daily News in which I said, I did clearly and strongly disagree with what Michael Vick did in terms of the dogfighting business, but how is Michael Vick any different from the rest of us? Michael Vick likes to sit around watching dogs fight, and most of the rest of us like to sit around the barbecue pit, you know, roasting cows and pigs and chickens. And the bottom line is, his justification for what he does is no better than our justification for what we do. We do not need to eat animals. Indeed, it is 2008. Nobody maintains that we need to eat animal flesh or animal products to be healthy. Indeed, an increasing number of mainstream healthcare people are maintaining it's detrimental for human health. Furthermore, animal agriculture is destroying the planet. So there's really, I mean, the best justification we have, Mike, for killing and inflicting suffering on 12 billion animals every year in this country alone for food, not including fish, is that they taste good. We enjoy. We get pleasure from it. How is that any different from what Michael Vick is doing when he sits around watching dogs fight? So my bottom line is, everybody in your listening audience, or most people, I would imagine the overwhelming number of people, would agree with the proposition it's wrong to inflict unnecessary suffering or death on animals. Now, we could have an interesting philosophical discussion about the intricacies of what necessity means, but the bottom line is, if it means anything, it means we can't inflict suffering or death simply because it creates a pleasure, amusement, or convenience for us. Because if we have that exception, the exception swallows the rule. But yet, the overwhelming amount of pain, suffering, and death that we inflict on non-human animals in this world is simply a matter of our pleasure, our amusement, our convenience. And it's really not a matter of rights. It's a question of what are our moral obligations, and wouldn't the world be a better place if we didn't tolerate that level of violence?
We're going to touch on all those again. I want to leave a lot of those questions up to the Slater Raiders. 423-0139 is the number. You can call in right now and talk with Professor Francione. 423-0139. So no animals for economic benefit. What about working animals like police dogs? Do you support the use of police dogs, bomb-sniffing dogs?
Well, you know, in many ways, my primary issue is the use of animals for food.
Okay.
But because I think that is the overwhelmingly prevalent form of exploitation in the world. But I'm not in favor of using any domestic animals at all for anything. My view is, if we took animal interests seriously, and if we were really serious about this, we would stop bringing domestic animals into existence altogether, because we really don't have the moral justification for doing that, and we wouldn't be using animals for that purpose. Now, obviously, you know, that's a small number of animals, and it's really sort of an extremely minor use in the grand scheme of things. So it really is a philosophical, it's a purely philosophical issue. But I would say, if you ask me that, what you did, my view is no, we shouldn't be doing that. However, the thing that I focus most on is the eating of animal flesh, the eating of dairy, the eating of eggs, things like that, where, you know, that is the prevalent form of exploitation, and I think that that's the thing we really need to think about.
Okay, that makes sense, and I want to talk about eating animals, too, but I just want to get you down on this. So no police dogs, no, like, horses, you know, so, you know, cowboys have to walk. You know, dolphins are used by the Navy.
Cowboys wouldn't need those horses if they weren't rounding up those cows, Mike.
That's a good point.
And if the cows weren't eating the cows, we wouldn't be rounding them up. So the cowboys wouldn't have to worry about it.
We gotta fight the cowboys and Indians though, and also working dogs. So for the blind and the hearing impaired, so none of those.
Again, I mean,
I know that's not your main concern.
It's not high on my list, but no, I mean, I'm not in favor. Look, I have 4 rescued dogs. I had 7, 3 died, but you know, we get these dogs from the shelter that are going to be killed because they have health problems or behavioral problems. I love my dogs. You won't find anybody on the planet who loves dogs more than I do. But the bottom line is if there were 2 dogs left in the world and it were up to me whether we continue to allow them to breed so that we could have pets, the answer would be no.
Okay, 423-0139 is the number if you want to talk with Professor Francione. I want to talk about the nutrition aspect that you talk about, because you're a vegan and you contend that people don't need to eat animals to be healthy. I mean, the Olympic.
I don't just contend that. I mean, you know, as far as I know, nobody,
I mean,
including the United States government, maintains that you need to eat flesh or animal products.
Well, you don't
the
need
only
to.
Thing is that if you don't eat animal products, you need to have B12 in your diet. But you get it, you know, I mean, whether one gets B12 from meat or whether one gets B12 from other sources, one has to get the B12.
Well, you certainly don't need to.
I've been vegan for 26 years, Mike, and I can't remember the last time I had a cold.
Well, you certainly don't need to eat meat to live. But if you want to live a perhaps more healthy life, how about this? The Olympics are in 2 weeks. Do you think any vegans are competing in the Olympics in 2 weeks?
Yes, I know that there are vegans competing
really?
In the Olympics.
Do you think Michael Phelps, who's going to win 8 gold medals, you think he doesn't eat a chicken every once in a while?
I don't know about particular people. I do know that I read something that there were vegans who were involved with the Olympics. And I have to tell you, the statistics, Mike, speak for themselves. People who don't eat animal products are, as a general matter, healthier. I mean, obviously, you have to take care to eat a balanced diet, to eat the proper food. You can't just eat, you know, soy ice cream or lettuce leaves or something like that. But vegans have lower rates of cancer. They have lower rates of hypertension. They have lower cholesterol. So, I mean, it's not clear to me at all. As a matter of fact, what is clear to me is that a vegan diet is much, much healthier for you.
423-0139 is the number. Right now we're talking with Professor Francione from Rutgers University, author of Animals as Persons. 423-0139. 1390 TJ105. Cliff from Milan. You're on the phone with Professor Francione. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I just got the question. It keeps using the term moral obligations that we have toward the sentient beings, and how there are imperatives that make it right. I'm curious as to where he gets these moral obligations from. Who sets these moral obligations? Mine are set by the Bible and by God, and certainly God thinks it's okay to eat these things.
Well, Cliff, it depends.
Thank you, Cliff.
What you, uh, I, sure what in the Bible you're referring to, because if you look at Genesis, if you look at the first book of Genesis, when God creates the world, God says he creates the world and gives the world to humans and says, here, I give you the world and I give you the herb and the seed to eat. It is only when there is a rupture in the covenant, when there's a breach in the covenant between God and man is ejected from the Garden of Eden, that man begins to kill, that killing becomes a reality. So, you know, I'm not a particularly religious person, but I think if you are a religious person, you've got to take seriously what goes on in the Bible. What goes on in the Bible is, in the beginning, in the situation where God and man are united in grace, before there is before there is original sin, there is no killing, there is no death, there is no violence. And if Jesus Christ's message means anything, the whole idea of rejection of violence, Jesus was violently opposed to violence. So, you know, I don't know which, I mean, again, I'm not a religious person, Cliff, and I do not mean in any way to insult your religious beliefs. I respect them. But I think it's important to sort of not jump to the conclusion that God has created a world in which God puts a stamp of approval on massive violence. Right now, we live in a world, Cliff, where there are a lot of people who think violence against other humans is something that God likes. And I suggest to you that if there's anything that is clear in the New Testament, it is that God does not like violence.
Professor Francione, we have to take a hard break. Can you join us for one more segment?
I sure can.
I appreciate that, sir. As soon as we started talking about the religious aspect, the phones just blew up.
Okay.
I got an email here from Keith that says, you quoted Judeo-Christian values. You might want to remember that the Lord gave us dominion over all the animals. Got a bunch of emails, got a bunch of phone calls, and I appreciate
dominion
you sticking around, sir.
Mean domination, Mike.
We'll see what the Slater Raiders have to say. I appreciate it.